This is your boy Sam Singh, aka Slam Cena. We're back in the studio today, cooking up some fire, and I got my good friend, got my boy in the studio today. I think it's on. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can say hello if you want.
Okay. Hey, what's going on, guys?
this is my good old friend Brady. Brady used to go to the U of A his second semester of college and his first semester of our sophomore year. And Brady has been my friend probably since like sixth or seventh grade. Moved onto my street, threw a little party with some snow on his driveway, and you know we had to send it. Like there was no doubt that a send was not in the making. And then it just kind of went from there. So now we're back in Tucson. Brady just flew in yesterday. It was his birthday on Tuesday, so we kind of used this on kind of like a birthday trip. My birthday is next Tuesday, so we wanted to get everyone together and do something fun. So we made it work, and it just happened that I have my radio show on Fridays today, and Brady wanted to come on, so it was nice to have him. So Brady, thank you for coming on.
Of course, thank you for having me.
Oh, I appreciate it. Definitely helps me out. It's fun. I mean, it's a fun thing to do, and we're gonna be talking sports, like mostly today. But I feel like there's just, you know, I don't really ever cover kind of just normal things, you know, and Brady and I have done podcasts together. He's come on my Grand Slam podcast. And so he kind of knows how to do a radio show, how to be on a podcast. So I feel like kind of giving him a nice little intro, but you know, he'll come up, he'll perform. I feel it. But what would you like? So you're coming in today, and what would you like to be talking about?
I mean, a lot of things. I mean, it's really up to you. I mean, I guess first, what do you think about Sean Miller and the Arizona Wildcats men's basketball team? Because from what I've seen recently, I know they lost to Washington.
Yep.
They just, you know, they don't have a guy that they could go to at the end of games to give them points.
Yep. It's brutal. I mean, there's no Brandon Williams right now. He's been injured for a little bit.
Do you know what happened to him?
I think it was a knee, I want to say. I don't know if it was ACL, but I think he's just out a few weeks. But whenever you have an injury like that with a high-profile player like him, I mean, it hurts.
Right in the middle of the season.
Right in the middle of Pac-12 play. And, you know, these are the games that we have to be winning. Like, we have to. If we want to be competing for any shot in the tournament, which is, you know, it's not looking good. I mean, like in the beginning of the season, beginning of Pac-12 play, Arizona was like a one or two team, and then we have just really fallen down. And the last four games, I think we've taken L's. That's brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, you really just actually hate to see that type of playing. I mean, I went to the game last night, and, you know, I thought it was decent, you know. I mean, obviously, Washington is a good team. They're probably going to be the only one to clearly make the tournament. I mean, they're 10-0 in Pac-12 play. That's you can't just avoid that. But I don't know. It didn't seem like the Washington Markelle Fultz team. I mean, it didn't seem like anything OP, like completely overpowering. So I don't know. And now Sean Miller is back thrown into this FBI investigation.
Really?
Yes, there's more. Of course, every few months there's just got to be another story that comes up. And
is it still with DeAndre Ayton, or is this a new case?
I don't know. Actually, I don't. There hasn't been like too much information released on it, but I don't know if it's related to DeAndre. And I'm gonna have to double check that. But I don't know. I know that it involves agent Christian Dawkins. I know that it had to do with Book Richardson, who was heavily involved in all that scandal talk. And I don't know. I don't know if we're playing poorly because of that. That's kind of like an off the court distraction, which could be, but I don't know,
man. Sean Miller, he's a veteran coach.
Exactly.
Especially with the DeAndre Ayton case last year. he seems like he can keep himself together.
Yeah.
Especially
composed.
Yeah, he's very, very composed. Like, it's not his first time on the block.
He's definitely done this before. I mean, like, he's been in this. Obviously, I don't think there's been a season in his tenure that's been, you know, kind of like this, because every year we come out with high expectations, regardless of what happened in the past. I know for next year, we have the number one recruiting class. And, yeah, like, yes,
no way.
Number one in the country over Duke, over UNC, over Kentucky, over anyone.
Who are some of the guys?
So Nico Mannion is coming from Pinnacle High School.
Redhead kid, right?
Yep. He's coming from Phoenix. And he is the number one point guard in the country. Not just in the state, and not – he's the number one point guard in the country. So I think he's a top 10 recruit, I want to say. So that's huge. I mean, anytime you get a guy like that, it's ginormous. second up, we have Josh Green, who's come in. He's an Aussie shooting guard. He's like 6'6", I think. So he's got a good frame, and I think he could be pretty good. Because I don't really know – I don't think anyone's really going to be leaving except for – the grad seniors right now. I mean, I don't see any of these freshmen going to the draft. I don't see it one bit.
What year is Chase Jeter?
Chase Jeter, technically. So he was Alonzo. He was on the same McDonald's All-American team as Alonzo Trier. And so they came in technically in the same class in 2015. So that he was a redshirt sophomore or a redshirt junior. I'm not sure which one. I know he redshirted, though, because he had to, or like because of the transfer, he sat out. So that was kind of his year off. And he was just with Arizona all last season, but he just didn't play. So I believe he's a junior, because Alonzo, if he was still in school like us, he would have been a senior. So I want to say he's technically a junior, but
okay.
I don't see – I mean, Jeter's been fouling out of games. I mean, like, it just seems like there's – I like Chase Jeter. I really do. And I thought it would be decent that he would be coming over here. But I think he's got to be producing a little bit more. I mean, like, with that type of frame, I mean, like, you can see, like, he is a long man. Like, he's got some length. And he doesn't – I mean, his vertical is, like, 15 inches. It's like – you got to be getting up. I mean, there's so many times yesterday in that Washington game that I saw that we just got out-rebounded. Like, clear-cut, just fundamental rebounding.
I think they're missing that fundamental big man.
Yep.
Whether it was Caleb Tarzewski or Dusan Ristić,
yep,
or even Lauri Markkanen in some sense.
Yep.
Like, I don't know. Sean loves his European centers.
Yep, he loves them, man. Oh, my gosh, does he love them. He needs to have them.
And some strong guards.
Yeah.
Like, there's no Parker Jackson Cartwright that can control the game.
Man, there's a guy, Justin Coleman. I like him, and he kind of resembles Parker to me.
I see it.
But I think, it's always good when you get a grad transfer, in my opinion, because that player most likely had 4 years of experience at the college level, at a high class college level.
So he is a grad transfer.
He's a grad transfer from Samford University, and that's in Pennsylvania, I think, somewhere on the East Coast. Not Stanford, Samford. So he came in this year, and I like him. He plays with a lot of hustle and heart, and he's obviously the smallest guy on the court. So, like,
he can stroke it, though.
So yes, he can. When he can get open and when he goes, he goes. And that's it could be a problem for four teams. But I just think that the way Arizona's playing right now, it's just not – it's not efficient enough.
Yeah, it's not efficient. I really think they need some consistent shooting on the outside.
Absolutely.
It's just a bunch of guards. I mean
– we literally have three big men.
Yeah.
Like, there's no bigs at all. We have no DeAndres, no Lowrys. You know, every year in my college career, at least we've had a reliable go-to center. And that was even Deuce on for a little bit, too.
Absolutely.
Like, there's even no Deuce anymore. And that hurts a team like Arizona that relies on that type of play. So when you have to change your whole game plan, when you don't have bigs and you got to start chucking up threes, I mean, yesterday we barely made any. I mean, it was just poor shooting. So it's like inefficiency on both sides of the ball. So I don't know. I mean, I think that there's got to be a fix, because they're not going to play well in the Pac-12 tournament if this is how they're performing. And the Pac-12 tournament, the only way I see them making the big tournament is if they take the Pac-12 somehow. It's the only way.
I can't see them beating Washington.
No. I mean, they're 10-0. I mean, that's the Pac-12 is so interesting because it fluctuates in the standings all the time. It's one of the weaker divisions this season, and that's pretty clear-cut. I mean, I think there are divisions, you know, ACC and the Big Ten, the Big 12. Like, there's very good teams in that. But this year in the Pac-12, it's just been inefficient. I mean, I keep using that word, but I think it's very useful because it just doesn't seem like true Arizona basketball for some reason. So I don't know. I think they got to do some fixing. That Sean Miller's got to get something figured out quick.
Get back to his identity.
Yeah. Just go back to Sean Miller basketball. I mean, I think they're trying to do too much. I feel like if you just try to simplify, you know, that game plan, that might work even better. So we'll see about that. But I don't know. Arizona basketball is always something that you get to the end and they piss you off because they have never, they've only had one championship and they get to the spot and then we can't. You know, commit. We can't get those last couple games. And that's where it hurts. I mean, the last 3 years, we have had brutal early losses in that tournament. And that does not look good. So, I mean, I think there's got to be a change of scenery, just like a change of mindset for that team. And I know next year when this new class comes in, there's going to be those expectations that start rolling around again. It happens all the time. So that'll be interesting. But I think we got some other topics we can be covering as well.
NBA trade deadline?
I was going to be talking about the trade deadline.
All right.
So I told you some of the deals that went down yesterday. And actually, my podcast, I covered some of these trades, pretty much all the trades yesterday. But it's good to talk about it again today because now there's some more time after. And we've had more time to kind of actually analyze the situation. But the team that really like sticks to my mind that like actually made aggressive moves was the Sixers. I mean, Elton Brand is this team's GM. Elton Brand. I don't know if a lot of you remember Elton Brand, but kind of broke as a player. kind of broke, but not a terrible GM. I mean, sheesh, I said it on my podcast yesterday, Farhan Zaidi, the Giants GM, who's just doing nothing this offseason, is signing ambidextrous pitchers and minor league players that have been out of baseball for a while. I think Farhan should be taking some notes from Mr. Brand because Tobias Harris is the big deal, I think, that really went down. And Tobias isn't, I don't know if he's made all-stars, but he's one of those cusp players that has insane potential still. He's only 26 years old. That's dead prime. I mean, that is right in the middle of your prime. And he's scoring 20 a game. 20 a game. I mean, that's real good. On a Sixers team that already has Jimmy, already has the process, already has Simmons, already has JJ. I mean, they got a lot of good things going for them on that team right now.
Absolutely. If you could space it out with Robert Covington and Tobias Harris on the wing, it opens up so much space for the pick and roll.
And now, they also dealt Markel. So they don't even have to worry about that baggage anymore. They got a 2020 first rounder and a future second and Jonathan Simmons. So, I mean, Jonathan Simmons made a name for himself in those playoffs a few years ago when he was on the Spurs. I believe it was against the Warriors too, that series, when he really put himself on the map. And he's really, he's been emerging, I think, ever since he was on the Magic. He's played well there, but he's a very big defensive player. And I think when he is coming to this Sixers team now, it's kind of like an Andre Iguodala role where, like, you don't have to be the star. You don't have to be producing anymore. That takes the baggage off of your shoulders. And you can relax and say, all right, I'm going to play my game of basketball. And his game's pure defense. So that and making good shots, too. I mean, he's a decent shooter as well. So I think it's a good – they made good moves. They dumped some contracts. They got some draft picks. But I mean, that's a very good move in my opinion. Also, some big trades were a couple days ago. The Bucks traded Thonmaker and got Stanley Johnson, and that seemed like it was going to be permanent. I mean, I thought that Stan was going to be on the Bucks, and you know, Kevin's a Bucks fan, so like I was excited for him because he got an Arizona guy again on his team. The last one was Jason Terry, JT the Jet Plane. So I thought, you know, it would have been fun, but next day. Gets sent out. He gets dealt, and it was Stanley Johnson and 4 second rounders, and I believe one more role player. And they got Nikola Mirotic. And I really think that's a good move for that Bucks team, who's already in first place, by the way, not just in the conference, but in the league, best record in the league.
They definitely need a floor spacer.
Absolutely. That's his bread and butter. I mean, on New Orleans, that's how I think Davis has been so effective, is because they've been able to spread the floor on a, they weren't all just focusing on Davis because they had a new threat with Mirotić. They had to advocate for that. So now coming to Milwaukee that already has Eric Bledsoe, Chris Middleton, all-star this year, Giannis, I mean, Brooke Lopez, who suddenly can shoot the floor three ball, spacer. Like yeah. Another floor spacer. I mean, that is solid. He's a sixth man that could easily start 16, 17 points a game in New Orleans with Davis there. So that tells you, like, even with a superstar, he can play effectively and he will produce when he's on the court. And even when there's a star like Giannis, I don't think there's going to be any complications.
No, absolutely not.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Like, you know, in the NBA, you're always going to have that guy that needs the ball to be effective. And Giannis is absolutely that player. And I don't think anybody is going to have a problem deferring to Giannis.
Yep.
All he needs is some people around him, a couple shooters, people that can open the floor up for him. Mirotić can do that.
Yep.
Drag the big man out to the three-point line. Giannis goes in one-on-one.
That's game over.
Money.
That's like, I mean, I was telling Kevin that I don't know if, like, it's a guarantee that the Warriors are going to win the finals at all. I mean, like, I think there actually are some good teams in the East.
The Bucks absolutely can give, especially on defense.
The Bucks get slept on. They get slept on by the entire league. I mean, I don't know why. Milwaukee's not really the headline city. And maybe that's it. I mean, they have good players. They have constructed that team very well. And the Bucks did not used to be like this. I mean, they have changed their whole game plan. So when you see that a team that's in first place is doing that, you know, is actually making those moves, it's awesome. You know that that team's actually running and gunning for the championship this year. Because there's so many times where you see a team that just gives up. And I know there's, you know, the Knicks, the Mavs, the Cavs, the blah, 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 that all these teams are probably going to tank, try to get Zion. I mean, that's what the verdict is, right?
Ooh, actually, that brings me to, okay.
Go for it.
Duke basketball.
Oh.
Out of the three, Cam Reddish, RJ Barrett, Zion Williamson. You know, I know a lot of people are thinking that Zion is going to go number one, but I honestly think RJ Barrett, clearly a more polished
established player.
I mean, I don't know about if established is the right word, but all polished. Around he could shoot.
Yeah.
You know, he can pass.
Yep.
Zion is, you know, he puts on a show.
He's
athletic. He can.
It's kind of the OBJ of college basketball.
Yeah.
That's probably a good way to put it. Just a very headline name. I mean, he's had the headline for 2 years. I mean, Zion was making, he was getting popularity when he was still in high school, when he would do windmill dunks on people. I mean, like, that's just like, that's when you start to seeing through the media that kind of perpetuates that one player. And that's what they've done with Zion. That's what they did with Jadeveon Clowney when he had that tackle and he went number one. You know, it really just takes one shot for that one player to really just gain everything that, oh, he's the verdict number one. But like you said, I mean, I think RJ could absolutely go.
Yeah.
And even if Cam Reddish is, I think Cam is going to be a top 10 pick too. Like,
it's just, you know, like a player like Cam Reddish who could shoot the lights out,
yeah,
he can score. It seems like players, Alonzo Trier, people who could score, that's their best
asset. Yeah.
It seems to translate better to the NBA.
Yep.
For Zion Williamson, I think of a guy like Julius Randle, didn't
yeah.
really have a jump shot. Athletic is all
good, yeah.
but he still is having a hard time adjusting. Like, he's just still a hustle player.
Yep.
If Zion can't really develop the rest of his game, I could see him falling into that Julius Randle role and not
yeah.
reaching his potential. But Cam Reddish, I mean, any team's going to take a shooter,
oh
right?
my gosh, yeah.
Any team's going to take a guy that can pass the ball.
100%.
So, I don't know. I think it's going to be really interesting.
Absolutely. Duke is just, man, they just come out with flames every single season. I mean, it's just like, it's crazy to see how they can recruit. I mean, it's just like people know Duke basketball to the point where you can get 3 top 10 picks on your team and there will be all freshmen. That's the standard at those schools. That's honestly what the standard should be here. But it's not. I mean, we've got a whole nother trash bag of problems that we have to deal with. So, I mean, geez. I mean, I don't know. I think teams like Duke, they're always going to be producing. They're always going to have the Zions. They're always going to have the RJs. I mean, it shows in their history. It clearly shows. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they come into the tournament because you never know in March Madness. It's literally madness. Kent State could beat Duke for all we know. So Wichita State is one of those teams that just like always does well in the tournament. They could always, you know, they got to the Final Four that one year and they could do it again. Easy. So I'm excited for that to start. That tournament starts in about a month. Pac-12 play is about like Pac-12 tournament play is like three weeks away. So the season's kind of coming to an end. February is the last kind of bit of Pac-12 play, conference play for everyone. So that's always fun when you start getting down to that. But I think that we are going to be taking a quick little break here just to regather some stuff, and we will come back with more for you in a couple minutes. Ooh. All right.